Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the Total Education Show, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators. Here's your host of the show, Neil Haley, the Total Tutor.
Well, I'm ready for another news craziness. Again, with my new researcher, Dr. Jennifer Little, I just have no idea what will happen at each show. And that gives a fair playing field with Jason, the public school guy. Go to my website, totaltutor.org, for more information. You can also follow me on Twitter at @TotalTutor or friend me on Facebook, Neil S. Haley. And then make the comment. Hey, I listened to the show. I love the show. I want to comment. And it's very interesting that Dr. Jennifer last week, I just took that whole corporal punishment thing right out on Facebook, and it was a good conversation. But I first want to welcome the program, Jason, the public school guy. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good now that things are fair around here.
And we have to be fair. Fair is fair. And then Dr. Jennifer Little. Dr. Jennifer, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Neil.
And Dr. Jennifer is very interesting. A whole situation with Dr. Jennifer is this, that she is in the same type of storm that we were in a predicament recording last week. So she's getting the weather we were getting, 95 in Portland. Thank the Lord, and Jason will say this, that we're getting down into the 80s again. I'm so happy about that. So, Dr. Jennifer, I guess we're going to heat things up. It's been hot in Pittsburgh like it's Texas, but now let's hear some of the news.
Well, I found an interesting one on ASCD's website. That's the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development in Education. It's a professional one. And the question is, what is the purpose of education? Now, according to this article, and what I have learned in education, is that historically the purpose of education has evolved according to the needs of society. Education's primary purpose has ranged from instructing youth in religious doctrine to preparing them to live in a democracy, to assimilating immigrants into mainstream society, and now to preparing workers for the industrialized 20th century workplace. Now that's as of 100 years ago with that 20th century. And this article stated that a founder of the National School Climate Center gave his view of what the purpose of education should be. But I'm going to let it up to you two to decide. This could be very interesting.
Okay, I'm going to go first, Jason, and we'll have to see what the other person feels about this. The purpose of education, I believe, is to prepare people for life, and that education leads to opportunity. It leads to the ability to grow throughout life, to be successful in life, or to, I guess, be prepared for life. That's what I think the purpose of education is in a nutshell. Jason, your thought, and then we'll hear what the answer is from Dr. Jennifer.
The purpose of education is to sustain society in a predictable, realistic fashion.
Oh, man.
That was quick.
That was so quick.
that's the purpose of education. It's nice to have individual thinkers, but that's not the purpose behind it. What we're really looking for is to create people who can assimilate into society, and so that we can maintain a society that we know and we understand into the near future.
Okay, so Jason's point and my point, I want to hear what Dr. Jennifer's answer is.
Well, according to the man at the National School Climate Center, his view, and he thinks that most people have it, is to support children in developing the skills, the knowledge, and the dispositions that will allow them to be responsible, contributing members of their community, their democratically informed community, meaning being a good friend, a good mate, able to work, and to contribute to the well-being of the community. Not only should children learn civic knowledge with all the politics and everything, They also need to master civic skills, which include respecting others, working collaboratively, acting in a way that is fair and just, and being an active participant in the community.
Oh, my. Okay, my response to this is it sounds like a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. What's yours, Jason?
I think it sounds about right, to be honest with you. I mean, he's pretty much stating what I just said. You know, the idea behind it is that we have these kids who can assimilate to society, and that's what we're looking to try to create with our students, is an assimilated individual within society.
That sounds like a bit, in my opinion, listening to this in more of a way. I don't know, Jason. I think that when I hear something like this, it's not exactly what my goal in education would be, especially if we're looking at when I was teaching at a Catholic school. And I want the response of Dr. Jennifer and Jason to kind of like, I'll start to play this out the first 6 minutes. We kind of toe-to-toe, nothing, everyone's agreeing, kumbaya. Well, I'm going to stop that very quickly. In my opinion, in my definition of what education is formation to form to be successful adults. I want to hear the word successful, not assimilate. That sounds socialistic in general. And then secondly, to be successful members of society and to learn, have life, a lifelong process of growth through education. Because if we're just defining the word education, we're not just talking about second graders. We're not just talking about third graders. We're talking about college students. We're talking about grad students. We're talking about people going for their PhD. So, Dr. Jennifer, your response.
My personal view has always been that I've been training kids to be self-sufficient, responsible, self-actualizing individuals for life. And I think that's what we've... both of you have said, as well as these folks. But all of this has been put forward in terms of, are we on track for No Child Left Behind meeting these needs?
No.
No. I mean, the truth of the matter is No Child Left Behind has nothing to do with meeting any of these needs, because No Child Left Behind is, can we get these kids to take a standardized exam and pass it? Not can they be, a productive member of society, but can they pass a stupid test? So, I mean, I think it's actually counterintuitive to the ideas that, you know, all of us have proffered here. So I would have to say no.
No, and I would definitely say no as well. I think that what I look at in education is specifically we want a society. We don't want a society that comes out of the next generation that aren't hard workers, aren't able to. I don't like the fact that there's not really any measurable goal in education from this guy that did this definition of it. I look at it more as you have to prepare them to be successful, and that so that society can continue to run in a successful manner. But I guess it's a different definition. So, Jason, what's your response to my definition? You think it's the same as yours?
Well, you think you're that way. Your definition is people should be acting in a responsible fashion?
No, I didn't say that. I said that great members of society that are successful, I'm using the word successful, and I'm looking at lifelong opportunities based on education.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that for some people it is true, but I think there's a lot of people who don't live a life based upon a successful life based upon education. They've gotten all the education they need, and then that's where they're going to go. I think I disagree with you, because what we really need to be looking at is how do we get these people to assimilate into society, and that doesn't necessarily mean for all people education.
See, Jason, I'm still very, very disagreeable on the way that I think that when we're talking education, we're in the school system, regardless, public, private, charter school, whatever, homeschool. We have a situation where we're not just teaching them academics, we're teaching them lifelong skills. So I think that if we aren't doing what my definition states, then we're doing a disservice to the kids. What's your thought, Dr. Jennifer?
I think education has a very narrow definition in our society, and that's set up by our governments, all the different levels of it. So it's just directing at the academics, and there is so much more than our brain. And it's the social skills. It's what some people call character education. It's the morals and ethics and values. And we're not doing that. And I think that's where there's that discrepancy between the public and the religious-based schools. Because in the religious-based schools, you get an awful lot of that that's founded in the faith-based education systems.
So maybe we need to look at the faith-based education systems, how we don't just form a number, we form a soul. And that Catholic education. I knew, Jason. I'm going to have to turn your mic down. I might have to have you have a conversation, a roundtable discussion about private school education with Dr. Bose, and maybe bring on somebody that has Jewish background, Muslim background. What an unbelievable roundtable discussion that would be. I'd have to pull some strings to get one of those out there for one of the shows on the network. But Jason's laughing. But what I'm saying, my goal in education, and I'm still not getting an answer in this, is formation is such a key, and that we are preparing them to be successful citizens in the United States. I'm not saying successful that they all have to be doctors, lawyers, engineers. I'm saying that I'm talking about more about specifically whatever part of society. And if Dr. Jennifer says that only private schools are preparing kids for other things but the school books, then public education needs to change in some way, Jason.
Yeah, that's not true. Public education is also forming the morals of the society. But public education forms those morals based upon the society in which it operates. The reason why I laughed is because as a product of a Catholic education, I got to tell you right now that the people who were the most corrupt within the school in which I was in were the people who were supposed to be forming my education. I'm not going to mention anybody's name specifically, but let's just say that I had a nun who called me the good kid and my brother the bad kid, and attempted to split my brother and I from one another by utilizing these kinds of terms. This is the person supposed to be forming my formal education, my morals.
So that was just one specific.
She was one of a number of people who did this kind of thing.
And that's too bad. We can go back to
We're talking about these kinds of education.
We're talking
Hold on, Neil. Let me finish.
Okay.
Good grief.
But see, we have clock. Jason.
Talk to anybody who has gone to a Catholic school, and they'll tell you how those people who formed their morals abused them. Nuns smacking knuckles. Fathers pinning kids up against a wall and smacking them. You'll find that these very people who utilize these techniques in order to maintain discipline in the classroom, it's not unique to me and the singular incident. This is a rampant thing that has occurred over time and continues to occur over time, which is why I don't think that anybody has a moral high ground when it comes to this kind of moral education, because it happens all the time. It cannot be denied.
Okay, but see, Jason, we have clocks and we have bills to pay. That's what I was stopping you on. You got to remember that. You're listening to Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network. We'll be back in just a moment with more Jason the Public School Guy, and I get to respond to the Catholic school tirade. And again, we've all had our experiences, but when we get back, we'll talk more. And Dr. Jennifer just loves how she sets things up. All right, this is Neil Haley, the Total Tutor here for the Total Education Minute. Remember, go to my website, totaltutor.org, for more information. How do we define education? And that's such an interesting predicament that Dr. Jennifer Little always comes up with these great opportunities for conversations based on that. Well, when I think about this in more certain situations, I look at defining education as formation. If our goal in education is to form, to become successful citizens, successful adults, that will be great members of society and also become lifelong learners. If we're not setting a goal to be successful, I think that we really aren't looking at the true belief of education. We need to go back to the days of when education was developed, when the first schools happened, I guess the first people, the people that were educated. What was that ultimate goal? What was Socrates' goal? What was all the great philosophers' goals in education? Email me, nhaleytotaltutor.org. What do you think? How would you define education? This is Neil Haley, the Total Tutor. You're listening to the Total Education Network. I want you to go ahead right now and go to Twitter and go ahead and friend me, Total Tutor, and follow me on Twitter or friend me on Facebook at Neil S. Haley. Or you can go to my website, TotalTutor.org, for more information or email me at nhaley@TotalTutor.org. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org. We're back to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network, and I'm with Jason, the public school guy, and Dr. Jennifer Little. And Jason, I was not interrupting you. You keep telling this story because this is great ratings, but I wanted just to take a break to pay bills.
Sorry.
And I missed my...
Can I interrupt the two of you here?
Go ahead.
Okay, here's a segue into another article since you guys are hot and heavy. This should be very interesting. An Indiana congressman, Andre Carson, created controversy when he told an Islamic Circle of North America convention that American schools should be modeled after madrasas, or Islamic schools, that are built on the foundations of the Quran.
Yes.
He is saying that in the madrasas, in those schools, innovation is encouraged where the foundation is the Quran, and it, the model that we're pushing in some of those schools meets the multiple needs of students. I'll turn it loose to you two.
Okay, this is so great. Dr. Jennifer is just showing that she's playing it right down the middle, because I saw that on Fox News this weekend, and I said, I wonder if we're going to have this conversation. This is absolutely, and if Jason agrees with this, I will be falling out of my seat right now if we're saying that we need to model our public education system under that. Over that specific way. And I had people from both the left and right on that show that literally said he shouldn't have said that. What is he doing? And to say something like that, I'm not going to get in any more until I hear what Jason says, because Jason might completely agree with, I guess, the commentary that was on Fox.
Well, first of all, if it's Fox noise, I try not to pay too much attention to it. But let's look at what he said and parse it out just a little bit here. He said that we need to look at a very successful schooling system that utilizes multiple techniques and allows for innovation to meet the needs of their students. If you were just to say that, who amongst us in education would say no?
None of us.
Precisely. I think the only problem that this person has to say, with this problem, the only problem this person has is the fact that he says that you have to use religion. Well, the fact of the matter is, you can't use religion, not in public schools. So whether if that's the same thing as Jerry Falwell coming out and saying that we need to be teaching more religion in school. Because if that's what he wants, Jerry Falwell and other people like him, then we have to take what the senator had to say more seriously.
But is Jerry Falwell a senator, Jason?
No, but Jerry Falwell is a very influential person.
And that's my point. But that's
But it's not okay, because we shouldn't be using religion in school, period. Now, you take the very first part of what he had to say, I am 100% in agreement. I do not agree with bringing religion into public schools, outside of teaching it as in an anthropological or a historical context.
So, but he gave no specific examples, Jason, except those examples that Dr. Jennifer gave.
Okay, well, he didn't give any examples. He gave his stump speech to a set of people within his district, and he made a point. I don't agree with the idea of using religion, but he's no different than any other politician who gets up there and makes an inflammatory statement or makes a broad brush statement and doesn't give any detail. That's fine. He wasn't acting out as an education expert talking about how specifically he was going to fix education in his district. He made a point to people who are receptive to his point about what he thinks that maybe he thinks that what he wants them to do. He was pandering. Okay, I understand that. But what he said doesn't although it may be the second half of it may be pandering, the first half of it makes sense.
Dr. Jennifer, your response.
Well, I'd like to throw out that this was a North American convention of people of the Islamic faith. And then after all of this, as far as I'm concerned, he was trying to pump his political stance. But then the Huffington Post went back and wanted to clarify some things with him. And this is what his response was. My remarks at the convention call attention to the fact that faith-based schools throughout this country have excelled because of innovative instructional methods and a willingness to engage different learning styles. And I don't see that's any different from what public education does. He then goes on to say, I do not believe that any particular faith should be the foundation of our public schools. It is important we take note of the instructional tools the schools use to empower their young people. Those schools have cast off a one-size-fits-all approach to education, and this is a model we must replicate. He attended a parochial elementary school, and he has seen the successes. So, realistically, teachers are all trained at the same places. They use the same materials, by and large. I don't really see that there's a difference. The only thing would be in the personal bonding or non-bonding that the kids have with the teacher.
And I would agree. And I think that was a great point that Dr. Jennifer brought this up. And then Jason, when we went from one extreme to one, Jason talking about his bad experience in the Catholic school. And I would say that there are stories out there like that. And again, we were at a time and a place when that happened, when education and the Catholic education needed a little bit of a change. And I think that we have gotten that change, and we've done a very good job since then to change some of the poor experiences that some people had in Catholic education. Well, we could say the same thing about public schools at that time too, Jason, of stories of the same nature. But we're talking about what this senator said, or congressman, said compared to about his parochial experience and that looking at innovation in specific ways, I agree in a way because they don't see kids as a number. I know, Jason, you don't. But I'm
sad. No, they see them as a number. They see them as a tuition number.
Oh, you're telling the teachers do that. The teachers, they're making
Well, the teachers take their cues from the principals. Principals take their cues from the people who run the schools.
So how
do you – they absolutely see them as a number. It's a tuition number.
How would they see them as a tuition number if they're getting paid hardly anything to teach in a Catholic school or a specific other parochial institution?
Well, because if they fail a kid who is rightfully failing, or if they discipline a child too harshly who deserves to be disciplined, suspended or whatever, that parent says, well, then I'm pulling my kid from your school. And those kids, they are a tuition number, and those schools need them desperately because the population of students inside of parochial schools now is dropping tremendously due to the poor economy. So they absolutely see them as a number. They see them as a tuition number.
But not the teachers. Yes, but the principals.
They take their cues from the principals, and the principals will tell them, they'll fail.
Well,
I know if... Right now, off the top of my head, Neil, three teachers who teach at parochial schools or even just private schools, and they've all told me the same story.
But what are we talking about also? What is the grade matter as much as we're talking about the specific situations? That's one principal's gutless
No. These are three different schools.
But
two of them parochial, one of them none.
But Jason... But we could say the same thing in certain public schools that are pushed to change grades, too.
Not, it's not the same thing. You can't make that correlation right there.
How can I?
In fact, well, no, because the story, what Dr. Jennifer brought up was the fact that these, and you said that, you know, innovation inside of these parochial schools. Well, okay, there might be some innovation, but there's innovation going on in public schools now, too. I mean, in Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today, the RAND Corporation did a study on how Pittsburgh public schools are innovating the way in which administrators are doing their job, making it better, making teachers better, and it's improving education inside of the classrooms. But you made the statement that, no, they are not looked at as numbers. They're looked at as individuals. And that's simply not true either. They are looked at as numbers. They're looked at as tuition numbers. You need these bodies in these schools, okay, because you need them to pay salaries and everything else. That is the difference. You cannot fail a kid who deserves to be failed or discipline a kid who deserves to be disciplined, because if I say I'm going to pull my three kids because you're going to discipline my one child, then that's not going to happen. And the truth be told, anybody who's ever worked in a private school knows that to be a fact.
But I don't think it changes the way they teach. I don't.
Absolutely.
No.
If you know that you can't discipline this child because he and his two siblings are going to be pulled, you can't discipline them the proper way, because of fear that you're going to lose these three kids. And if you lose these three kids, you can get fired.
See, I don't know about that. Then again, you're talking, we have unions that protect us in many Catholic schools. If we're talking that specific thing, it could be a non-union school that this is happening to, and I can't believe I'm pubbing a union. That's going to be something that we have to record. We are not going
to... Bring it to the light, Neil.
No, I'm going to bring it to the light that the diocesan unions didn't do anything for me. But let me continue in this conversation, Jason, looking at... Specifically, the teachers don't look at this number. Yes, tuition number, maybe. But let's talk about special needs kids in public schools. Same thing happens, doesn't it, Dr. Jennifer? They can't fail them most of the time. They can't kick them out. They can't suspend them. So it's about the same thing and how they treat kids that are different with exceptionalities, right?
Well, I'm going to disagree with you because I have failed students. And I have, and the special ed students, because this was a real soul searcher for me, because I had some students who graduated from a private special ed school, and they had been, back to one of our other shows, fluffed up so much with this self-efficacy to make themselves feel good, because they couldn't read. Yes, they were beaten down. And it was a unique little bubble, and these kids felt good about themselves, and they were going to school and behaving well, and everybody praised them, which was what needed to be done. But then I watched these kids go out. They graduated from this school, and they couldn't get a job. They couldn't do anything. There was one boy who visited me where I was working. He couldn't even find his way out of the building without running into glass walls.
Oh, jeez.
And, yes, and this is a learning disability kid. And what we're doing by not failing kids is not teaching them that they have to work harder or develop a work ethic.
I absolutely agree.
There's a balance in there.
Absolutely. When we get back, we'll talk more with Dr. Jennifer Little and Jason, the public school guy. You're listening to the Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network. And so far, I guess we're really having a lot of arguments. And and that's interesting. And that's probably because we're in the heat of the summer. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Body by Vi 90-Day Challenge is powered by a line of leading wellness products from Visalis Sciences and is the perfect way to start a lasting transformation for anybody and anybody. All you have to do is select one of four challenge kits designed for your personal goal, and it'll be delivered right to your door. If your goal is good nutrition, the Balance Kit is for you. If you're looking to shape up and lose weight faster, try the Shape Kit. Our core kit is for you if you have an active lifestyle. For your ultimate transformation, choose the Transformation Kit, the number one kit used by Body by Vi Challenge champions.
A lot of times people think that the 90-day challenge is a weight loss challenge, and that's simply because of how many people are using it to lose weight. However, it is not. It's a 90-day health transformation.
It's transforming people's lives, I mean, from every aspect. I mean, you're getting a chance to change your physical appearance if you want to, or maybe just the condition of your health.
I wanted to look the best I've ever looked in my life at 40, and I did. We took our after pictures, and I've never looked like that ever.
This is a product that absolutely works. It tastes great.
It's amazing how people's lives totally change from something as small and as simple as deciding to take a challenge.
The Body Bye Bye 90 Day Challenge. Lose weight, get healthier, and even save time and money. Think about it. You save money by replacing your meals with a healthy, delicious shake instead of eating out. And mixing up a shake takes no time at all.
Do you need help parenting? What about losing some weight? Or do you just need some daily motivation in your life? Well, tune into lifeimprovementradio.com. All of our content is geared towards enhancing the quality of your life. We stream 24/7 and can even be found on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter to keep up on the amazing shows that we have. lifeimprovementradio.com is the perfect place to hear great information and topics to enhance your life daily.
Welcome to PWR Talk Network. PWR Talk Network is based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It is called the NPR of the Internet, Voices of the People, United We Roar, www.internetvoicesradio.com, pwrtalknetwork@gmail.com, and to call the network, 734-827-9407. Distinguish yourself from the ordinary.
Total Tutor here. Now you can print up free discount coupons that can be redeemed at your local store, buy gold, or even store your computer file safely online at phoenixbroadcasting.com. Also, phoenixbroadcasting.com offers numerous radio talk shows and the latest original music from recording artists at phoenixbroadcasting.com. I recommend everyone to go to phoenixbroadcasting.com to check out all those exciting things. The Total Tutor says so. Neil Haley, the Total Tutor. Remember to go to my website, totaltutor.org. And I'm asking everyone, in the interactive way that this Total Education Network, as we keep growing, is to go to Twitter. Follow me, Total Tutor. Go to Facebook, friend me, Neil S. Haley, and or you can email me at nhaley@totaltutor.org. I'm waiting for more and more interaction. We get that. I wish that we could go live, but I need my listeners to keep pushing it. Then we will go live, and we will get that interaction of callers like we did a long time ago till we got so large that we can't take callers anymore. Tip, but we want your information. Email me at haleytotaltutor.org or visit my website, totaltutor.org. Remember, Total Education Network, the talk shop for teachers, parents, administrators, totaltutor.org for more information. We're back to the Total Education News Show and the Total Education Network. I'm with Dr. Jennifer Little and Jason, the public school guy, and I really so far have felt like I'm in a kind of a fisticuffs battle protecting Catholic schools, private institutions in specific ways, but I will agree with Jason in certain ways. There are gutless administrators out there that literally care about tuition more than their students, but I wouldn't say that's all schools, and there are some very good Catholic schools out there that are not doing that. And the same thing with public schools. There are public schools out there that literally don't care about their students, while there are others that are doing a fantastic job. It depends on what district it is across the country or what private school it is across the country. But ultimately, the goal of formation of education is the ultimate key. So, Dr. Jennifer, what's our next topic?
I thought I would follow up with another legislator, another Republican legislator, since we had the controversy last week on Texas Republican. This is a New Hampshire Republican. this particular individual recently claimed that analyses he's been carrying out since 1996 show that communities in his state that have kindergarten programs have up to 400% more crime than localities where classrooms are free of kindergarten. And
are you serious?
I'm serious. This is what this guy has said. Now, of course, his research, let me see if I can find that. Of course, it goes against everything. But what he did, he went to the State Department of Education and found out where the different towns had kindergarten and where they did not. And then he looked at the crime statistics. And he concluded that we're taking children away from their mothers too soon.
Wow.
That was his...
see,
I thought... I thought this would throw in a light touch to our controversies.
I think it's going to definitely put a light touch, but I'm going to go and respond to this. Now, the Republican Party in 2 weeks has really discouraged me. And, Jason, I predicted this, and I told you that Romney's a lame duck candidate, and we're completely seeing it in this election. But when we're talking Republicans, they don't really have a true identity. They speak out of both sides of their mouth, just like any politician. But when you're going to bring up that crime, there's more crime in areas that have kindergarten, that is a shame. That's a complete shame, and that's why there are backward places like Pennsylvania that do not have kindergarten as mandatory yet. And so we have specific things like that. You're going to always have these behind-the-class situations. For this person to say, oh, they need to stay with their mothers more. What are they talking about? How are they going to be prepared for first grade if they don't go to kindergarten? So are you telling me that they start school in first grade? This is just so backwards, especially if you're going to look at inner cities and look at specifically how these kids need to have a classroom environment to be successful. Jason responds.
Well, let me first begin by saying that I agree with you when it comes to, schools being good and bad. You know, some are good, some are bad, and it depends upon where you're going. I think a bigger issue in all of this is that there seems to be this concentrated effort by the Republican Party to attack the institution that is education, period. How do you correlate education with crime? Or I should say more education with crime.
Yeah, right, exactly.
The correlation is actually the opposite. The less educated you are, the higher your crime rate, period. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't go to kindergarten, you're going to be a criminal. But, I mean, he is saying that if you do go to kindergarten, if you do go to institutionalized schools, be it public or private, then you're going to go to prison because you didn't get to hang out with mom enough. But did he also follow up those statistics by looking at how many of those people went to kindergarten who did have their mother, and how many people who didn't have a mother at home? I mean, how deep did he go with his sociological, or did he just make a correlation, connection that makes no sense whatsoever without getting deeper into the data? See, it sounds good on paper, but the truth of the matter is, if you think about it just a little bit, this guy should be disbarred. He should be kicked out of office. He should be impeached. He should not be a representative of the people any longer.
So I'm going to go right to this whole point and then go to Dr. Jennifer. I mean, when I hear something like this, I just absolutely just shake my head saying, what has happened to my Republican Party when it comes to education? And like I said before, I had the Goldwater Institute on, and I think they didn't like some of the comments I made because they wouldn't even return my calls after that. So I really make good friends when I am supposed to be the Republican, backbone to this. I didn't get the response to how I asked questions to Tom Luna. I might have asked the wrong questions to him as well, because when we're looking at Republicans and how they are so really education, when it comes to education, they look like fools in specific ways. And last 2 weeks, Dr. Jennifer's been able to pull upon that, and that's why I want her to go ahead and email those people. I'll send you my bio, Dr. Jennifer. I think you already have it. And invite them both on the program, and I will interview them. And I will go and we'll get the response to this, because we can't always just attack people on the news show. We got to bring them on. And if we don't bring them on the news show, we bring them on to another one of the stages of the Total Education Network. But I absolutely am disappointed that one of my biggest initiatives, early childhood education, the Republican Party doesn't think works. And I think because they have never sat in a classroom to know what a first grader truly needs to know. They're busy in their specific ways, and some of these probably their kids are being homeschooled. Or going to private schools. But when kids truly are dying for education, where they sit in front of a television set before they go to school, maybe 15 hours a day, specifically their parents are never home, they're probably being raised by their siblings, getting them in a classroom to learn is the most important thing. So, Dr. Jennifer, what has happened? This is all new stuff to me, these educators that have come out of the woodwork.
Let me throw something else out to you.
Yeah.
The article went on to explain how real research is done and how this guy really didn't follow anything, and it raised a whole lot of points. But something that I left out just to throw some little controversy in is this man is 86 years old.
Okay.
And so it may be that he doesn't have a clue what's going on, and his electorate nearly needs to look at whether or not they need to reelect him or not. The purpose of bringing this up to you was just to have a bit of humor going on here and show that politicians really don't know what they're talking about, and yet they're messing around in education.
I mean, when I think of something like this, let's bring him on. Seriously, you got to email him, say he's got to come to the national stage of education right here. Anytime anyone speaks up, any politician speaks up on the news wires and wants to talk education, they need to come on my show. I was so upset I didn't make it down to Pittsburgh to see Governor Pawlenty and get to have an opportunity to interview them the day that, because I don't think President Obama would let me walk into CMU's campus and say, hey, let's have a 10-minute interview. Let's sit down and talk education. But that's going to happen someday. Trust me. I will have all of them on my show. Just to give you an example, Jason, it's getting bigger and bigger. Cliff Robinson will be coming on my show. I remember him the days of the Portland Trail Blazers. He'll be on the show soon. We just get new and new people looking at the Cake Boss to come on. So we need politicians to come on the show. I still want a response from what Romney's campaign said with Obama's campaign regarding education. But honestly, Dr. Jennifer, when I hear these situations, bring them on. Bring them on to the show. I'd love to talk to him, and I'd love to ask him where his research has come from. So the Huffington Post is where we're getting all this stuff, aren't we, Dr. Jennifer? That was not the Huffington Post.
That's where I got that one.
And, yeah.
it was just, let's push Neil's buttons.
Well, the scary thing here really is that, you know, beyond the federal level, even at the state level, there seems to be a push against education. It is vaguely shrouded in this concept of educational reform. But the truth of the matter is, as we continue to move on, that the more conservative wings of the Republican Party are pushing for more and more extreme changes in education, to the point where we have to be careful and start pushing back, because if we don't, education's going to break and we're not going to be able to fix it. The things like the last two articles that we've talked about, where they don't use statistics, they don't know how to do research. They're using hot button topics, and they're only speaking to the most extreme points. And that riles up the people, and the people tend to tell a lie large enough, long enough, people will start to believe it. And I think that's what's occurring at the state, local, and at the federal levels of politics.
And I guess we'll have to look at specifically more education points that are made by the Republican Party and also the Democratic Party, because they do make mistakes. They do make mistakes in conversations. The Democratic situation involving parochial schools to the Republican misconception of early childhood education. Two times, big time mistakes to look at. Now, Dr. Jennifer, I guess we're ready to go into that last article for today, and we'll have to take a break in about a minute. But let's hear this last one, which I'm very interested to hear so that we can kind of prepare for the last segment of today's show.
Well, the last one is real research, and it was in the Boston Globe. It was a Harvard study that found nearly 1 in 12 teens has an anger disorder. And they're saying that this is far beyond the normal hormonal stuff that happens in adolescence. And some psychiatrists are calling it intermittent explosive disorder. There's some question whether or not it's a mental health condition that really needs to go in the DSM-5, the latest volume for psychiatric diagnoses. But it was just very interesting to see that nearly 1 in 12 teens have this, according to this study.
All right, when we get back, we're going to talk about that. That's a great teaser before the break. And I have my answer, especially if you listen to the roundtable discussion from last week's show regarding parenting discipline versus punishment. A lot of times kids develop anger issues because they don't feel safe, and that's kind of twisting the whole thing. Well, we're going to go into this, and I think that all of us will agree, and that's what Dr. Jennifer does probably in the research, says if I keep hitting these articles, Jason and Neil are going to go at each other. That's going to, at one point, cause a rift in our great show. You're listening to Total Education News Show on the Total Education Network. And when we get back, we're going to talk more with Dr. Jennifer Little and Jason, the public school guy. And we're going to figure out ways to fix education. And I'm looking forward to it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, Tony Marino.
And I'm Lynn Kennedy.
Listen, we'd love to have you join us every Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. Pacific Time, for Alive in Christ Radio Live on the Alive in Christ Radio Network, heard worldwide to teach God's truth and to share the perfect redemptive love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Alive in Christ Radio Live features
True Life Application,
Holy Bible Teachings,
Spirit-filled Dialogue,
Christian News and Updates,
Inspirational Guests and Testimonials,
Listener Interaction, and special features with Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, Joyce Meyer, Louise Palau, Beth Moore, and Dave Ramsey. We pray that you will join us every Tuesday evening, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Alive in Christ Radio Live.
Online at the Alive in Christ Radio Network.
Go to www.aliveinchristradio.com. Be blessed.
Total Tutor here. Remember, go to my website, totaltutor.org, for more information. You can follow me on Twitter at Total Tutor. Email me, nhaleytotaltutor.org. Or also, you can friend me at Facebook at Neil Hess Haley, or go to the Total Education Network part on Facebook. I want you to message me. You could call me. You could do whatever you want to give me feedback on what you think of the show. Who do you think's right in this situation? I know for a fact that we have some interesting conversations so far, but I wonder who the correct person is. We all know who it is. It's the host. We're back to the Total Education News Show, the Total Education Network, and I'm with Jason, the public school guy, and Dr. Jennifer Little. And we're kind of going into specific ways of looking at the whole situation when it comes to behavior again. Dr. Jennifer brings it back one more time with the problem of explosive behaviors not being eliminated. They said more and more are coming up that we're going to get a diagnosis. And Jason and I off the air, we're talking about obsessive defiant disorder. But I'm going to answer the question so far that Dr. Jennifer's brought, and then Dr. Jennifer will go in more detail. That point is that basically we're looking at parenting A lot of parenting mistakes leads to these types of kids. The reason it happens is because specifically they're given anything they want all the time, and parents don't sometimes have that patience issue. So, Dr. Jennifer, what's your response? I guess, is there more to this article, or are we going to get Jason's response?
Well, part of this article is that they're saying that the intermittent explosive disorder, which is different from the oppositional defiant, that the person must be at least 18 years of age to receive the diagnosis. But it does note that the diagnosis can be made in teens who have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or other behavioral disorders. So they're saying that so many special ed kids are going to have this intermittent explosive disorder as a psychiatric label, when in fact it could be that they are just exploding out of the frustration because of their school environment experience.
Interesting. I like that little take, because you're right, it could be the school environment experience as well. Jason, response.
Well, I mean, what is this saying about these kids? You know, they're turning 18 years old, and, you know, what is it saying about our society, though? I kind of have a hard time swallowing that because you're angry, because you had a difficult time, you now have a psychological disorder. I have a difficult time swallowing it. At what point do we say, okay, yeah, I had a difficult time, to let me overcome it? You know, have a problem, find a solution. It just seems, in this instance, I'm not trying to make excuses, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but the fact that, for me, it just seems that we're looking for an excuse to give these kids why they behave improperly, rather than saying, putting responsibility on the kids to act properly.
Response, Dr. Jennifer.
I agree, because kids are not held accountable for so much.
Yes.
And they're excused. And here's again with the special education, with their functional behavior analyses and the IEPs, so many of them I see get excused from being held accountable.
Yes.
Because part of this is a result of their handicapping condition. I don't agree that an awful lot of this is a result of the handicapping condition. It's a side effect of poor teaching and the kids not being able to learn, but that's not the handicapping condition.
It's also an effect of the handicap. I agree that there is some poor teaching going on, but there's also the environment in which the teacher has to work within, where you're not allowed, you're not allowed to suspend a student who has a learning disability more than 10 days in a given school year, despite the behavior, no matter how bad the behavior is. You're not allowed to discipline a child who has a learning disorder, who's on an IEP, because of, the civil rights laws that protect, that give them more rights than a non-IEP student does. I think that beyond the bad teaching, I think the other aspect, an even greater aspect of it, is that there's been an entitlement given to special ed students, where they know that they know for a fact that they can behave however they want,
so,
and they won't get punished.
But behavior, right.
Yeah, the behavior won't be punished, and that has, when you take them up to 18, now, at 18, they graduate from high school, and now all of a sudden they're behaving the same way outside of that school, and everybody's saying, well, why aren't they behaving the proper way now? Because they've never been held accountable for it. And I think that's where I would put a greater responsibility on the environment in which these kids are placed, and the lack of discipline, and the special status that they've been given.
See, let's look at this. I'm going to look at it not as an education thing, as a parenting thing. Ultimately, these kids at one point in time specifically had difficulty at home, ultimately over parenting that was too strict or not strict at all, specifically a lot of mental issues that leads to that. And then in a school environment, once they label them oppositional defiant, you have to try a different manner, a way to handle these kids. we have to, and it depends on the great psychologist or psychiatrist that's evaluating. You have to let Johnny make his own decisions. The consequences, we can't have any negative consequences. Everything needs to be positive with Johnny. Johnny needs to be given everything. Well, if we keep giving Johnny everything, by the time he gets to high school, and some teachers are like, you know what, this is crazy. At one point in time, we're going to have a rebellion fact of explosiveness because Johnny's used to be given everything, Dr. Jennifer. Wouldn't you agree on this?
I want to throw something else in here that complicates this study. It's more than just the home environment, and I do agree with all of that. But this researcher who had found similar prevalence in adults is a paid consultant for pharmaceutical manufacturers.
Oh, jeez.
Now, what does this say about the research?
Well, I tell you, the research is flawed. He's probably looking for a reason to sell the research, the chemical or the drug that he's trying to sell.
I agree, and he's at a university, so this has the status. This is where he can get the funds, but he's getting it from pharmaceutical companies, probably.
Right. Well,
there's a vested interest in this, and even though it's published research, is it a valid research? I don't see it.
No, I agree with you on that. I would say that that's probably very much so a flawed study, and you would have to probably. And I don't know whether is the American Psychiatric Association actually looking to putting this in as a legitimate condition.
Apparently, there's a lot of controversy out of it because of the age limitations that you have to be 18 and older. But they are saying that you can give it the diagnosis if you have an ADHD or other behavioral disorder in a teen. So again, it's two sides of the mouth. Whether it is or is not. But there are a whole lot of things that are going on with this that kids are going to get labeled.
Exactly.
And I really don't like it.
We're adding more labels to kids. And is that really working? That would be a great research topic to look at labels and look at specifically, since we created all these labels, how much has it helped them? We know in the gifted range it hasn't worked really well at all. And we had an awesome conversation about the gifted child last week on the Total Education Show that aired on a lot of stations on this network. Now, Jason, I know you have a comment, but the one thing I want to make from this whole situation is my concern is, again, if we keep on not blaming the child, but blaming the environment, blaming the parents, blaming the school, instead of ultimately, if this kid is doing all this, he has to be held accountable. He has to have consequences. And if you just give him an IEP and know he can do whatever he wants, when he gets out of school, he's more likely to go to jail because he's going to think that the police officer is going to let him off the same way.
Well, I mean, yeah, you will have those extreme moments in that. But now that Dr. Jennifer brought in this whole concept of, you know, who's funding the research, especially at a prestigious university such as Harvard, which has a tremendous amount of money in their trust that they could utilize to fund that research themselves if necessary. I think this leads to an even greater problem is that we do have a large number of vested interests outside of academia funding academic research so that it will reinforce the concept that they could sell their product. And this is one example of it. And one out of every 12 special ed students, think about the large number, you know, with the average special ed population in a school being anywhere between 3 to 5%, and you have over 100 million kids at school, that's a lot of people.
Right.
And that's 30 million people. Low-end estimate, 30 million people every year taking this drug.
Right. We have to look at a lot of those situations where these drug companies do this research just to get it the way they want to get
right.
things. And that's scary as well. And we any types of research, we really have to kind of look at them. And I, one of the conversations I'd love to have, but on a different show on this network, is specifically how our government and also scientists are scaring us that everything's killing us nowadays. And that I would love to bring on somebody that doesn't agree with that. And what a conversation that would be for another part of my network, and just to bring up that point. But Dr. Jennifer, where can we find more information on you? Really appreciate you coming on and really doing a fantastic job with some great articles again tonight.
Getting your blood flowing there. You can Google me, and I'm at Parents Teach Kids, and I look forward to comments and more controversy.
Oh, yes. And that's what this is all about, leading to the Total Education Hour show, the big one. And I've already came up with a topic, and it's going to be involving the update on education reform. And it's going to be very, very interesting. A couple people I want to get on that show is TFT, Bronx teacher, Larry Sand. I'm looking at that specifics. I don't know for sure. It could be in a week or another week again when scheduling. But Jason, we could also we get you blogging at totalbookblog.com. I hope you get a blog up very soon, especially maybe of the experiences from tonight's show. But I appreciate you calling.
Anytime. Hey, great. Great talking to you guys.
All right, take care. Okay.
Bye.
All right. That was just a great show. Now, I guess the commentary. When I think about the commentary from tonight's show, I look at specifically looking at different lenses on topics. We look at either how it's written, specifically looking at the Democrat who really made Republicans mad about how we should model our schools, to the Republican that believed we shouldn't have kindergarten. Two extremes that form a party, and the two responses from both sides of the aisle, myself, the Republicans, Jason, the Democrats, and hear their response to kind of pat that person on the back. And then other topics that literally you have public education versus Catholic education, and the battle that grounds are drawn there, and how a certain topic or research is brought up and how certain people respond. Well, this show gives the opportunity for people to respond on either side to the argument. I hope everyone has a fantastic day. More education talk tomorrow on the Total Education Network. You go to my website, totaltutor.org. You click on the Total Education Network, and you can go ahead and listen to the shows, all the great shows that are coming up. Really want to thank all the listeners on the network. We're just going to keep rocking and rolling each and every day with more great education talk. Next tomorrow's show, if you're on that spiel that you get all the shows, we're going to go to the Total Education Show, the hour-long version, and it's going to be quite interesting. I hope everyone has a great day. We'll talk tomorrow with some more great education talk. Good night.